is a Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Bachfest has been around for 22 years in Cincinnati, but how did the celebration of beer get started? We're going to find out today. Joining me, our author of Over the Rhine, When Beer Was King, Mike Morgan. He's been heavily involved in the rebirth of the Brewery District. And Stephen Hampton, Executive Director of the Brewery District Urban Renewal Corporation. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Glad to have you both here. Let's start out, Mike, with you telling us how the heck did Bachfest get started?
Well, Bachfest got started back in 1992, and it was started originally by a beer rep at Hudepohl. And they were coming out with new Moorline Bock, and Hudepohl used to make Moorline. And she was looking for a place to have a little neighborhood festival. And so she figured she would go to the coolest neighborhood in Cincinnati. And so she went to Mount Adams. And Mount Adams told her to go pound salt because they had enough going on. So she went to see a guy named Jim Tarbell, who had a little less going on. And he happened to own Arnold's and Grammer's both at the time. So Over the Rhine became the home of Bachfest back then as kind of a combination beer promotion and a neighborhood festival. It sort of grew from there. Then there were a few years where Barrel House Brewing took it over, and Barrel House kind of spearheaded it for a while. Barrel House went out of business in 2005, and then in 2006, I was sitting on a bar stool in Arnold's, and I asked what was happening with Bachfest, and I heard that it might not go on in 2006 because there was nobody really spearheading it. And I'd had a few too many beers, so I decided that I had to save Bachfest, that was my mission in life. I've been involved in it since.
And I thought it was interesting. I did a little bit of reading. It's called Bachfest because it's related to goats. Is there some kind of combination there?
Bach means goat in German. And there's two stories of where it comes from. One has to do with this region in Germany where the beer was probably made originally, and it has to do with German dialects and how it sounds like goat, and I don't speak German, and I don't really understand. It's a boring story, so I don't care. The second story is that the original brewing monks, and it was made originally by monks, these guys that brewed it first, they had a little drinking competition between the two of them, and they were in this tavern, and Bock beer has both a higher nutritional content and a higher alcohol content. So after they'd both had a few of these beers they'd made, one of them stood up and he keeled over. And he blamed it on a goat that had ran into the tavern. And the other monk told him that the only goat that knocked him down was the one that was in the beer, the kick that was in the beer. And so that's the legend of how Bock beer got its name. And although it's probably not true, it's the story that we prefer.
So you've embraced the goat. Tell us about this whole parade that'll start things off with a goat.
Well, the parade starts, with Schnitzel the goat. Is actually pulling the ceremonial barrel of beer that gets blessed at Bachfest Hall. There's a gigantic Trojan wooden goat that's pulled by a team of monks. It's led by the sausage queen, the reigning sausage queen from the year before. And after that, it's just open to anybody and everybody, and it's a blast.
Well, so you really do start out with this goat, then. It starts the parade. The parade starts at Arnold's, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, and then it goes through Over the Rhine. How many blocks is it from Arnold's to the
About 8 blocks, so straight up Main Street, hooks around on Moore Street and ends right at the Bachfest Hall, which is at the new Christian Moorline production brewery in Over the Rhine.
And who can be in this parade?
Anybody.
So you just got to show up?
You just got to show up.
And do you have to dress in any special way?
We certainly encourage it. We have a number of groups that kind of come back every year with either the same theme or a new theme. So there's a lot of that tradition and that we're trying to continue to grow and have everybody have their own ownership of the parade as well.
It's really, after going on all these years, the neighborhood sort of has changed, I would say, since the first years. Tell us about the transformation and what role you think maybe Bachfest might have played in any of that. if any?
Well, I'm not going to we burn a snowman every year to ensure good weather for Bachfest. And we did that, and I am going to take credit for the fact that there's going to be good weather next weekend. I'm not sure that we can take credit for Bachfest revitalizing Over the Rhine, but it's definitely become part of the spirit of the neighborhood. The neighborhood, as it has grown, has really embraced it, and it is a festival that defines that place. I think like no other festival downtown has a real sense of place and a uniqueness to it. So that's exciting. And the growth, when I got started with it in 2006, we had three venues. So this year we have a total of 17 venues.
Plus Bachfest Hall.
Yeah, plus Bachfest Hall. So,
tell me more about that. I wasn't aware of that. So it's not all in Bachfest Hall then?
That's correct.
So what's going on at these various places?
Drinking. There's actually a whole lot more than that. That's the flip answer. We have the Shop Bach all weekend long, and so there's a craft menagerie at Arnold's on Saturday afternoon. There's a couple of beer presentation lunches. One of them featuring me, the other one featuring a guy named Jim Bruckman of the Bruckman Brewing family. So
and those are at Washington Platform.
Those are at Washington Platform on Saturday, one at noon, one at 3. We have the tours all weekend long, Steve can talk more about those. I think those are about sold out at this point.
What are they?
These are tours of some of the historic brewery buildings in Over the Rhine. During the day on Saturday and Sunday, there's a 2.5-hour Bach tour that visits three different historic pre-Prohibition breweries, including the lagering cellars and tunnels 30, 40 feet underground. We also have some tours on Friday and Saturday evening that leave from Bachfest Hall as well. Again, those are close to selling out, but they're a great way to see the history and the heritage of the neighborhood, which again is something, as Mike was talking about, we really try to celebrate with this festival. So it's beer and that's fun, but it's also the history and the heritage of the neighborhood as well.
Well, let's talk about that. How many breweries were in that general neighborhood? I think, wasn't it all start about the 1860s, 1870s, somewhere in there?
The real growth of brewing in Cincinnati started around the 1850s when lager beer was introduced to America. At its peak, there were about a dozen and a half breweries in Over the Rhine in the West End out of about the three dozen in the greater Cincinnati area. So it was a pretty amazing concentration. We believe we have the largest collection of pre-Prohibition brewery architecture in the country still remaining here in Cincinnati in these neighborhoods. But beer really did define the city economically, culturally, with a large German population. It was really an integral part to their culture.
We're talking about Bachfest today. If you have a question or a comment or a historic beer story you'd like to share, 513-419-7100. You can email us talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter if you want to post there. Stephen, you mentioned brewery architecture. What does that mean exactly?
Well, we have the actual breweries that beer used to be built in or brewed in. And these are both the actual brew houses, but malt houses, stables, offices, all these parts of these brewery buildings. And architecturally, they're very significant. They have a couple different styles, and they're just amazing from the exterior. And again, with the technology at the time, before mechanical refrigeration, they basically had to dig these massive cellars deep underground or in the hillside to make that lager beer. And so there's this amazing physical remains of these breweries all throughout the neighborhood, both above ground and below ground.
What are they used for now? I mean, I'm sure they weren't just waiting to get tours.
Unfortunately, some of them are right now. That's one of our challenges from the brewery district standpoint of trying to redevelop these buildings because they're a little trickier, they're a little bigger, they're going to be a little different challenge. So there's a handful that are used, but a lot of them are sitting vacant. And so right now our goal is to share those and help the property owners be able to redevelop those in the future.
How long has it been since there's been that much brewing? I mean, when did it all start back up in that neighborhood, Mike?
Well, post-Prohibition, Over the Rhine really kind of started to come back, and Cincinnati started to come back as a brewing city. But what happened in the decades after that was a consolidation of the brewing industry. So a lot of the smaller breweries started to be killed off. And, we wound up with Hudepohl and Schaneling through, the 70s and 80s. Red Top was around for a while in the 60s. And so, you know, Shane Lane, Berger, Red Top, Hudepohl, they all kind of got reduced down to Shane Lane, Hudepohl, and then it sort of went away. So it was this kind of gradual, it was this immediate rebirth and this kind of gradual death over a few decades as the industry changed. And so fortunately, we're seeing some rebirth of craft beer, and we're seeing, you know, Cincinnati beer coming back, and that's a pretty exciting thing.
I think it was National Geographic Traveler or one of those that did a big article about Cincinnati and talked about this whole beer background and how there's this resurgence of it all going on, and really seemed to draw a lot of interest nationally. Do you find that this is not just a Cincinnati event anymore? Are you bringing people in from around the area, or at least for the tours at other – are the tours available at other times too, or just during Bockfest?
They are available at other times during the summer and at Oktoberfest. But yeah, for the tours especially, we see a lot of folks from the greater, you know, tri-state region, but also kind of regionally, Chicago and Columbus and Indianapolis that are coming to Cincinnati for Bockfest and other events like that.
Are there other cities across the country that have similar brewing backgrounds? I mean, obviously, you know
Milwaukee and St. Louis, they do their thing. But Cincinnati, you know, never really embraced that, I mean, in modern times. And so part of our mission at the Brewery District has been to share that story and to use it as part of the drive to redevelop the area. And when we started this, you know, Steve and I started doing tours back in 2006. And when we started doing tours in 06 and over the Rhine, people thought that we were insane. You know, who would want to do that? And, you know, now you see a flourishing tourism industry in over the Rhine, and you see the world starting to appreciate what we have. But that started with just getting Cincinnatians to appreciate what we had, because, you know, as recently as 2005, 2006, there were very few people within the city of Cincinnati that even understood what we had in over the Rhine in terms of its history, and particular its beer history.
You think that's often true, though, of people? It's sort of like if it's in your own family, and maybe you've got somebody in your family, and you're like, yeah, they have good stories, and they know what they're talking about, but, you know, that's just my crazy uncle. Yet somebody else comes in and says, oh, my gosh, the wealth of knowledge there. Does that part of it get people realizing that it's not – this isn't in every city?
There's a little bit of that, I think, in Cincinnati, especially that, you know, with World War I and all the anti-German hysteria, we really pushed – down a lot of our history, and, you know, people had been moving out of the city core into the suburbs, and I think there was a distinct, hey, that's in the past, that's not us, and you know, I talk to folks that their grandparents won't necessarily talk about their history, and we're really finding that people, again, are rediscovering that connection to the city center and over the Rhine and reconnecting with that, but Cincinnati especially, I think, has really kind of pushed that aside in the past.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment as we talk about Bockfest today. Tell us a little bit about how the event is set up. Is this, you know, you think about drinking beer and tasting different beers and touring old brewery facilities. Is this definitely an adult event, or is there anything for families?
Well, first of all, and I think I didn't completely answer your question about the venues a minute ago. All of these venues are connected by a shuttle bus, and it's a free bus, and there's no admission fee to get into Bockfest or to get into any of these venues. So come down, find a place to park, abandon your car, and take a bus. And you might want to abandon that car for 3 days, depending on how much fun you decide to have. But you can get to all these venues on that bus, and, you know, as I say, there's no charge to any of it. Most of it, you know, the parade and a lot of Saturday is really kind of adult oriented, but there are things for families. And in particular on Sunday, we do a thing called Continental Sunday at Bockfest Hall. And the name Continental Sunday comes from the way the Germans used to celebrate Sunday and over the Rhine. And the Germans here in Cincinnati thought that Sunday was the day that you went to the beer gardens and you went to the parks and you had beers with your friends. And that was sinful to a lot of people. Kind of the Anglos had a different concept of Sunday. So the German approach was called Continental Sunday. And that's what we celebrate at Bockfest Hall on Sunday of Bockfest. And we have a lot of authentic German entertainment, and it's a lot more of a family-friendly environment.
I see you also have church tours, not only beer tours. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it visits a handful of the historic churches in over the Rhine. Those are on Saturday afternoon. Again, just as a compliment to the brewery tours. But again, that history and that heritage that's all throughout the neighborhood we want to continue to celebrate.
You mentioned something about the monks making the beer a little while ago. Is that for real?
Yeah, it's where it came from. There's the connection. We do Bockfest on what is always a dicey weekend to do an outside festival because of the relationship to Lent. And Bock beer was originally brewed by monks with that higher alcohol content because it has a higher nutritional content because they brewed it to drink it through Lent and fast. And they would give up eating and they would just survive on Bock beer. And you can still try that today.
have you done
people
that?
Do, I have done that some Februarys in the past, but it doesn't work out as well in modern times as I think it did when you lived in a monastery in the 1500s.
It's a higher nutritional value. That's something to think about. Thank you both so much for being here. Let's find out the final details or the details and everything. It starts with the parade, which is when?
6 p.m. on Friday, starting at Arnold's all the way up Main Street.
And that's rain or shine?
Yep.
Absolutely.
I know you've burned a snowman and all. But
right. Even blizzards.
So have you had it in that kind of weather?
Well, that's why we burned the snowman. There was a blizzard in 2008, and the parade was officially canceled by the city, but we did have it anyway. And then 2 years ago, there was a tornado that was supposed to hit downtown Cincinnati. And we had it anyway, but that was thanks to the snowman because we started burning it.
How do you burn a snowman?
It's paper mache. It's not
effigy,
made of actual.
So,
okay,
yes.
So you're not melting a snowman,
right,
really.
Right. Yeah, and, perfectly legitimate question.
And you do that when?
We do that a week before the parade.
So that's happened already?
That's happened. We did that on Friday. Yeah, I mean, if you notice, there was supposed to be that horrific blizzard that just became like an inch and a half of snow here in the past couple of days. And that's because we control the weather.
We'll wait for that next year, too, then. Yeah, maybe you need to do it a little sooner and a little more often.
We had that suggestion this year, yeah.
So that starts out then on Friday night.
Correct.
And then this runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is it all? You mentioned a lot of events during the day on Sunday. Anything during the day on Saturday too? All day Saturday or just in the evening?
All day Saturday. It kicks off with a 5K Saturday morning from Bockfest Hall. There's the tours all day long. At Bockfest Hall, we're celebrating all the local craft breweries. So all of them will be represented with their box or seasonal beers at Bockfest Hall. Sausage Queen Final is Saturday night at Bockfest Hall. Again, the other event all weekend long.
And do you have any kind of contest between the breweries as to which Bock is the best?
There's a homebrew competition, but otherwise it's just everybody just enjoys all the Bock beer.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I've been talking about Bockfest with the author of Over the Rhine, When Beer Was King, Mike Morgan, and with Executive Director of the Brewery District Urban Renewal Corporation, Stephen Hampton. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.